Long History, Journal of the First Voyage of Columbus, Part 4. Reaching the Bahamas, the First Island and Its People. Hello and welcome to Long History and Part 4 of Journal of the First Voyage of Columbus by Christopher Columbus. In the last section, Columbus and his crew made the first sighting of land, having finally made it across the Atlantic. As this section begins, the crew are waiting overnight before exploring the land they have found. This section begins mid-sentence, the first half of the sentence which ended the last podcast being, "The vessels were hove to, waiting for daylight." The text continues. And on Friday, they arrived at a small island of the Lucayos, called, in the language of the Indians, Guanahani. Presently they saw naked people. The admiral went on shore in the armed boat, and Martin Alonso Pinzon and Vicente Yáñez, his brother, who was captain of the Niña. The admiral took the royal standard, and the captains went with two banners of the Green Cross, which the admiral took in all the ships as a sign, with an F and a Y and a crown over each letter, one on one side of the cross and the other on the other. Having landed, they saw trees very green and much water and fruits of diverse kinds. The admiral called to the two captains, and to the others who leaped on shore, and to Rodrigo Escovedo, secretary of the whole fleet, and to Rodrigo Sanchez of Segovia, and said that they should bear faithful testimony that he, in presence of all, had taken, as he now took, possession of the said island for the king and for the queen, his lords making the declarations that are required, as is more largely set forth in the testimonies which were then made in writing. Presently, many inhabitants of the island assembled. What follows is the actual words of the admiral in his book for the first navigation and discovery of the Indies. "I," he says, "that we might form great friendship, for I knew that they were a people who could be more easily freed and converted to our holy faith by love than by force, gave to some of them red caps, and glass beads to put round their necks, and many other things of little value, which gave them great pleasure, and made them so much our friends that it was a marvel to see. They, afterwards, came to the ship's boats where we were, swimming and bringing us parrots, cotton threads and skeins, darts and many other things, and we exchanged them for other things that we gave them, such as glass beads and small bells. In fin, they took all, and gave what they had with goodwill. It appeared to me to be a race of people very poor in everything. They go naked as when their mothers bore them, and so do the women, although I did not see more than one young girl. All I saw were youths, none more than 30 years of age. They are very well made, with very handsome bodies and very good countenances. Their hair is short and coarse, almost like the hairs of a horse tail. They wear the hairs brought down to the eyebrows, except a few locks behind, which they wear long and never cut. They paint themselves black, and they are the colour of the Canarians, neither black nor white. Some paint themselves white, others red, and others of what colour they find. Some paint their faces, others the whole body, some only round the eyes, others only on the nose. They neither carry nor know anything of arms, for I showed them swords and they took them by the blade and cut themselves through ignorance. They have no iron, their darts being wands without iron, some of them having a fish's tooth at the end, and others being pointed in various ways. They are all of fair stature and size, with good faces, and well made. I saw some with marks of wounds on their bodies, and I made signs to ask what it was, and they gave me to understand that people from other adjacent islands came with the intention of seizing them, and that they defended themselves. I believed, and still believe, that they come here from the mainland to take them prisoners. They should be good servants and intelligent, for I observed that they quickly took in what was said to them, and I believe they would easily be made Christians, as it appeared to me that they had no religion. I, our Lord being pleased, will take hence, at the time of my departure, 6 natives for your highnesses, that they may learn to speak. I saw no beast of any kind except parrots on this island." The above is the words of the admiral. Saturday the 13th of October. As soon as dawn broke, many of these people came to the beach, all youths, as I have said, and all of good stature, a very handsome people. Their hair is not curly, but loose and coarse like horsehair. In all, the forehead is broad, more so than in any other people I have hitherto seen. Their eyes are very beautiful and not small, and themselves far from black, but the colour of the Canarians. Nor should anything else be expected, as this island is in a line east and west from the island of Hierro in the Canaries. Their legs are all very straight, all in one line, and no belly, but very well formed. They came to the ship in small canoes, made out of the trunk of a tree like a longboat, and all of one piece and wonderfully worked, considering the country. They are large, some of them holding 40 to 45 men, others smaller, and some only large enough to hold one man. They are propelled with a paddle like a baker's shovel, and go at a marvellous rate. If the canoe capsizes, they all promptly begin to swim and to bail it out with calabashes that they take with them. They brought skeins of cotton thread, parrots, darts, and other small things which it would be tedious to recount, and they give all in exchange for anything that may be given to them. I was attentive and took trouble to ascertain if there was gold. I saw that some of them had a small piece fastened in a hole they have in the nose, and by signs I was able to make out that to the south, or going from the island to the south, there was a king who had great cups full, and who possessed a great quantity. I tried to get them to go there, but afterwards I saw that they had no inclination. I resolved to wait until tomorrow in the afternoon and then to depart, shaping a course to the southwest, for, according to what many of them told me, there was land to the south, to the southwest, and northwest, and that the natives from the northwest often came to attack them, and went on to the southwest in search of old and precious stones. This island is rather large and very flat, with bright green trees, much water, and a very large lake in the centre, without any mountain, and the whole land is so green that it is a pleasure to look on it. The people are very docile, and for the longing to possess our things, and not having anything to give in return, they take what they can get and presently swim away. Still, they give away all they have got for whatever may be given to them, down to broken bits of crockery and glass. I saw one give 16 skeins of cotton for 3 siotes of Portugal, equal to 1 blanca of Spain, the skeins being much as an arroba of cotton thread. I shall keep it and shall allow no one to take it, preserving it all for your highnesses, for it may be obtained in abundance. It is grown in this island, though the short time did not admit of my ascertaining this for a certainty. Here also is found the gold they wear fastened in their noses. But in order not to lose time, I intend to go and see if I can find the island of Cipango. Now, as it is night, all the natives have gone on shore with their canoes. Sunday the 14th of October. At dawn I ordered the ship's boats and the boats of the caravels to be got ready, and I went along the coast of the island to the north-northeast to see the other side, which was on the other side to the east, and also to see the villages. Presently I saw 2 or 3, and the people all came to the shore, calling out and giving thanks to God. Some of them brought us water, others came with food, and when they saw that I did not want to land, they got into the sea and came swimming to us. We understood that they asked us if we had come from heaven. One old man came into the boat, and others cried out, in loud voices, to all the men and women, to come and see the men who had come from heaven, and to bring them to eat and drink. Many came, including women, each bringing something, giving thanks to God, throwing themselves on the ground and shouting to us to come on shore. But I was afraid to land, seeing an extensive reef of rocks which surrounded the island, with deep water between it and the shore forming a port large enough for as many ships as there are in Christendom, but with a very narrow entrance. It is true that within this reef there are some sunken rocks, but the sea has no more motion than the water in a well. In order to see all this, I went this morning, that I might be able to give a full account to your highnesses, and also where a fortress might be established. I saw a piece of land which appeared like an island, although it is not one, and on it there were 6 houses. It might be converted into an island in 2 days, though I do not see that it would be necessary, for these people are very simple as regard to the use of arms, as your highnesses will see from the 7 that I caused to be taken, to bring home and learn our language and return. Unless your highnesses should order them all to be brought to Castile, or to be kept as captives on the same island. For with 50 men they can all be subjugated and made to do what is required of them. Close to the above peninsula there are gardens of the most beautiful trees I ever saw, and with leaves as green as those of Castile in the month of April and May, and much water. I examined all that port, and afterwards I returned to the ship and made sail. I saw so many islands that I hardly knew how to determine to which I should go first. Those natives I had with me said, by signs, that there were so many that they could not be numbered, and they gave the names of more than 100. At last I looked out for the largest, and resolved to shape a course for it, and so I did. It will be distant 5 leagues from this of San Salvador, and the others some more, some less. All are very flat, and all are inhabited. The natives make war on each other, although these are very simple-minded and handsomely formed people. Early in this section, the text mentions a flag with an F and a Y on it. These letters refer to Ferdinand and Isabel, the rulers of Spain. We see various signs of the times in this section. The Spanish state that they are taking ownership of the land even before they meet the people who live there. Further light is shed on the ugly side of life in those years when the text openly discusses taking some of the people as slaves. It's always worth remembering that this is by no means an objective history, it's just one point of view. Vastly different points of view would have been available then and are available now. All we can say is that the descriptions of indigenous people as being simple-minded and handsomely formed, for example, are quite typical descriptions. This is how we would expect a Spaniard to describe an indigenous person at this time. Unfortunately, we don't have the point of view of the indigenous people here. Notable here also is that the text still refers to plans to go to Cipango, Japan. It appears that the crew know they have achieved something here, but don't know exactly what they have achieved. In the next section, the exploration of islands which are today part of the Bahamas continues.